yes. But today is a special day. One of our daughter from Lexington, she was living with us in Lexington until her mom came back to the country. Her name is Katie. Katie, can you stand up? Hi. So she called last week, Daddy, Mom, can I go home? I said, sure. One more dosage of hormones will be fine. Can continue swimming in hormones. For now I have 12, 13, 14, and 15.
12, 14, 12, 13, 14, and now almost 15. So come, Holy Spirit. Today we're going to be learning from Matthew 25, 1, 13. Again, keep hoping. I continue to hope that the church will be awake and receive this powerful prophecy that Jesus Christ is coming back again. How many of you believe it? He's coming back again. So Matthew 25 and then 1 to 13 says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they rose by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood aside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. These are the words of Jesus teaching about the second coming. And just as you go through this passage in Matthew 25, it brings key principles that we all need to embrace and keep in mind as we become and grow disciples of Jesus. So these are the three questions we're going to be reflecting on today. How can we ensure we are spiritually prepared for the coming of the Lord in our daily lives? Number two, how can we use our gift and resources to serve others and honor God's kingdom more effectively? And number three, what are some practical ways to remain spiritually alert and watchful in our daily lives? So, as we see Jesus teaching here, the beautiful thing here is that this is a very plain parable. This is not, there's no mystery in it. It's very simple. What Jesus is doing here, just challenging us to be aware. So first is be spiritually prepared. It's just the preparedness. Jesus is teaching us, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. And you see this passage when these foolish virgins were not ready. They didn't have enough oil. And they were asking oil to the other from the other five. And they say, no, I want to give it to you. And when you hear that, it seems like, oh, that's selfish. Why you don't share? Well, there are things you can share, other things you cannot share. So if someone is asking you to do things that will affect your relationship with Christ, you should say no, basically. But the gift of the oil is the preparedness. You either are prepared or not, and you cannot share your preparedness. People have to be ready. People have to spend time preparing themselves, getting ready for the second coming of Christ. Getting ready to meet Christ face to face is our responsibility. You cannot transfer that to other people. People have to own it. And as you own it, then you are prepared. Then the second principle is stewardship. Utilize your gift and resources wisely. So where is your oil? And we spend time and accumulate that oil by spending time in the presence of God, just praying, fasting, worshiping God. This week, we went to a retreat with the staff. We went and spent time in the mountains and praying and worshiping and having conversations and loving each other and hugging each other and eating together. And you just came back full of the Spirit from an experience like that, right? Why? Well, because we need to stop. We need to stop and bask in His presence. Just be there. And that way, you keep your oil and you keep your lamp with oil, waiting for the second coming of Jesus, waiting for the bridegroom. And the last principle is watchfulness. Just being watched. Just watch and being alert. And just resisting the temptation to be consumed by what you see only. And my hope is that the same way these virgins woke up when they heard the cry out, "Here, the bride is coming. Come, 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 He's coming." They wake up. And the beautiful thing about this passage also is that they all fall asleep. So, I mean, we all have this tendency. It's not about who's better, and they were all waiting. Well, they all waiting, but they all fall asleep. The point is that when you hear the voice of God saying, "Wake up," it's time to wake up. So this sermon series is a wake up call. Like, remember, Jesus is coming. Remember, He's coming back again. So as we reflect on this, being spiritually prepared, as we share this with others, invite other people, spend time in the presence of God, making sure that you are strong in prayer, that you are fasting, spending time in the Word of God, and getting ready for the second coming of Christ. And then being good stewards of your resources, spend time receiving from the Holy Spirit all your gift and graces and share that with others, but always remember to keep yourself centered in God, because all our gift and talents comes from the Holy Spirit anticipating Christ's return. And then be alert, be obedient, keep your faithfulness ready, knowing that He can return at any moment. And God is constantly training His people to keep our eyes on Him, so that when He comes, we can be ready for the second coming. So, if you are here today, this is my invitation to you is, how is your oil? Do you have enough oil in your lamp? That's a good question. Do you have enough oil in your lamp? You need extra oil. Some people are saying Jesus is not coming back again. We believe that He's coming back again. We need oil. We need to be vigilant. We need to spend time with Him. And the Apostle Paul invites us and challenges us to think about this holy life and sanctify ourselves, because Jesus is coming back and spending time in His presence. But as we reflect on all these principles from Matthew 25, how can we apply that today? How can we actually today, here for St. John and other churches, how can I live this out? Making sure that I'm ready, waiting for Jesus to come back. So you have this powerful passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, but the whole chapter is full of action that the Holy Spirit is leading the Apostle Paul to write, and we're going to reflect on those. But first, let's read this passage together. 1, 2, 3. Wow. This is a call to keep your whole self, your spirit, soul, and body blameless. Blameless. Which means that we have three parts. We have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have a body, right? So what our tendency is to spend time with the body, not as much as taking care of our souls and our spirit. The reality is that you are twice bigger inside than you are outside. But our tendency is just to spend time in our bodies, and we go to the gym and we want to eat healthy. We want to do all of that, which is good, because we have to be good stewards of our bodies. But here, the other call is not only take care of your body, take care of what? Your soul. Take care of your spirit. And not only take care of it in a natural way, but keep them blameless until your Lord comes back again. And then says that God will do that. God will make that happen. The only way he can make that happen is if we are spending time in his presence, and him, then we can cleanse us from our sins. And the reality is that Paul is quoting Genesis 2:7, because in Genesis 2:7, in the creation of Adam, we see these three parts. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, the body, and then breathed the breath of life, the spirit, into the man, and then became a what? A living soul. And the idea here is just to understand that we have three parts. The same way the temple is built. This is the body is the temple of the spirit. The temple also have three parts, right? So we have also three parts. And we need to take care of ourselves. Now, what is the challenge here? The challenge here is that we need to quiet the noise of all the other two parts to actually live a life that is blameless in the spirit. So if you have a spirit, and by the way, a spirit with little s, not a spirit with big s, we're talking about your spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So you have a spirit, little s, and then you have a soul, and then you have a body. But the reality is that we usually spend a lot of time listening and letting the soul to control us. We are all about what we think and what I feel. I don't feel like worship today. I don't feel like forgiving today. I'm going to, and my thoughts sometimes are not in alignment with God, and I have all negativity and negative thoughts, and then all of that, you are enslaved by your soul when God is saying you need to press and go deeper, because the only way you are going to connect with me is in the spirit first. Which means that at the end of the day, it is not about if I feel God. God is in me because I know he's in me. How many of you know that? So if you know that, I want to encourage you to stop longing and seeking all these experiences and experiencing God outside and looking for God outside. God is where? First, inside of you. And when you are without God, and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, your spirit is dead. That's what happens here. Adam was connected with God, and then he died because of sin, and then there was a disconnect from the spirit. And now when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, boom, it's like in the hospital, you are dying, and they give you shots, boom, 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 and you come back. Why? Because we are full of energy. Hello? And then, only then, the Holy Spirit comes and seals you. You are alive now. You are not dead anymore. In the spirit, you can have communion with God. In the spirit. In your soul, it's about your emotions, your will, your passion, your mind. But then your body, you have your brain, you have this body. And you can be on fire for the Lord. And then you get sick. And your body is saying, you can do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. Stop worshiping. And you have to press forward and say, I'm going to worship God in the midst of this sickness. You have to decide that and connect your spirit and say to the spirit, your inner spirit, you're going to worship God. Do not forget. Keep worship. And then you don't know how, but you start singing in the bed. Why? Because you are realizing that you are more than you can see. You are more than it meets the eye. And you need to wake up, and we need to wake up and not allow our emotions and our feelings to take over and control us. Because when we are believers and as disciples of Jesus, when we are controlled by the soul, we're not going to get too far. Because this Sunday, I don't want to get up. Next Sunday, I don't want to worship. Following week, I don't want to forgive. I don't feel like it. Good luck with that. It's not about what you feel. It's about who you know you are. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you are alive. If you are alive, you have the power to respond and go deeper and dig deeper until you activate and learn how to walk in the Spirit with the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, little s, with the Spirit, big S. That's the only way you are going to be ready to wait for Christ. That's the only way, when the Bible says, pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing if you are flesh? Because you are praying on the Spirit. You are praying in the Spirit. You're spending time with God. Now it's a second nature reaction. You worship every time something happens. As long as you have to wait and think to act, you're still growing. You're immature. What happens when a response from the Spirit becomes second nature? Pow! Now you are growing. Does that make sense? Go deep and go deeper and spend time and connect with your Spirit, which is powerful. But this passage, when Paul is challenging us, he's saying, okay, how can you live this out in the natural as a church here at St. John and even other churches, wherever you are around the world? This is my first challenge for you, according to Paul, chapter 5, in Thessalonians. It says, first, appreciate your church leadership. How you're going to walk this sanctification? How you respond to the fact that Jesus is coming back for his church? Well, if Jesus is coming back for his church, this is the way you're going to help and prepare yourself. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. In other words, every time you see Stephen, every time you see Kyle, you see anyone who is serving here, just appreciate, show appreciation. We went to the mountains, we prayed, they were crying and sharing their hearts, and Betsy and Cheryl and everybody. I mean, it's like, we take care of you, but we also need you to take care of us. We pray for you, but we also need you to pray for us. And don't do it because it's the day of the staff and the day of my birthday. It's constantly. Because if you are going through rough time, guess what? We too. Because we are part of you. And that's part of honoring. And that's way we keep our oil in our lamps flowing until Christ come back again. So that's the first principle. Appreciate your church leadership so they can help us to continue moving forward as we wait for Christ. Number two, support those who are weak and be what? Patient. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14 says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. And be patient with everyone, which means that we are not going to be happy and Barney, I love you all day. If we get mad or angry or cranky, it's fine. We need to be what? Patient and love one another and respond in a different way. And when we love people, even when they are disruptive, when they say something that is bad or evil or something, a flesh impulse made that person think something negative or say something negative, love meets that and can change that person. But if we both get angry, then we have a problem. Then we are all angry. Are we the Church of Christ? If we are, the Holy Spirit is in us. If the Holy Spirit is in us, then be patient and love one another. I may have a desire to say to you many things in Spanish, but I won't, right? That's the self-control that comes from the Spirit. When we do this, be patient, love one another. Then, I already mentioned this, pray continually. So you have to be praying and spending time with God. So we train ourselves to hear more Spirit than our flesh. And again, I'm talking about Spirit with little s. You have a spiritual body and you have a natural body and they both match. What you know in your natural body, you know in your spiritual body. That's why when you go to bed and you are sleeping, your spiritual body is awake. And you go places. Hello? You go places and do things that you don't want to do. And you wake up and say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Right? Why? Because we are tempted in many directions. There are desires, things that go against what we are doing. But the more we train our bodies, the more your spiritual being will be in alignment with God. And you will be able, even in your dreams, to say no to things. Wow. That's my hope. Then give thanks in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you lose your job, you're not going to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because I lose my job. That's not, you are crazy. Or you just don't like to work. Well, that's different. But if you really are responsible and you know you have to pay bills and you have to pay for college and you have to pay for, I mean, you're going to believe and experience this pressure to provide for your family. So you're not going to be saying thank you because I lose my job. But in that situation, thank you. Because now I'm waiting for you to reveal yourself as Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Yes, I bring the check home, but there is no mistake here. I know that you are my provider. And God reveals himself to you in a powerful way that you were not expecting. So in everything, you can be thankful. Thank you, Jesus, because I have a new job. Thank you, because now I'm going to drive around town. I'm going to submit new application, and I'm going to be in the place that you want me to be. Wow, that's different. It was an opportunity for you to encounter God in a different way. That's why God has so many names. So we experience him in different ways all the time. Now, says, verse 19, do not quench who? The Spirit. You know why he says that? Do not quench the Spirit. Because again, once you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to your spirit with little s and sealed that forever, and he will not go away. Doesn't matter what you do, he will not go away. Now, if you are worshiping, fasting, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, he's joyful, he's excited, he's loving. Oh, Christ is coming back again. He rejoices with you. But when you are sinning, and you are doing things that are not in alignment with God, and you're making mistakes, and you are angry, and all of that, you are quenching the Spirit. He's there. And that's why you are sad sometimes. You don't even know why you're sad. Because he's there. He's there. He doesn't go away. You are sealed with the Spirit. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. So that's the challenge, is to embrace this principles that Paul is teaching here. And then in verse 20, he says, do not treat prophecies with what? With contempt. Do you believe that Christ is coming back again? Do you believe that Christ is coming back again? Do you believe that these are the latter days? That this is the end of times? Are you seeing and watching and seeing the signs all over the place? Then do not treat prophecies with contempt. But then it says that you cannot believe any prophecies that you hear when people come and say, thus says the Lord. You have to do what? Test them. You have to test them and hold to what is what? Good. So process things. Compare what people are saying, what you're seeing in the news, with the scriptures. And then you can hold it. Not before. You cannot say amen, hallelujah, for everything you hear. You cannot click like to all videos that you see in the media just without thinking and processing what people are saying. Don't take sides. When you are a disciple, you first take God's sides, what God is saying, and then I give an opinion. Not before. And then the last one here, it says, reject every kind of evil. So Paul got tired of listing things, and knowing that we are, as the Bible says, inventor of evil, then he says, reject every kind of evil. Because I know that in the 21st century, people will be creative. I'm here in the first century. I don't know what type of things, but I know that we will continue on this. So let me just write, reject every kind of evil. So whatever you are doing that is not in the Bible is there. It's there. Reject every kind of evil, because we are children of the light. So as we reject evil, we align more with God. And people are always asking where good come from, where evil come from. And I say, well, okay, where does evil come from? And I say, okay, where does good come from? Because we have both. We have people doing good, and we have people doing evil. All comes from the prince of this world. It comes from darkness, or it comes from the light, but it's coming from somewhere, and we are recipients of that. Are we allowing the Spirit, capital S, to do good through us, or we allowing the little s, spirit, our spirit, in connection with the darkness and the prince of darkness, God with little g, to control us? That's the question. And as we do that, we walk by faith, expecting Jesus is coming back again. So my plea to you this morning is, spend time with God. Cultivate your personal relationship with Jesus through prayer and the scriptures. Be diligent in your work and service to God and others. Encourage one another in faith and preparedness. So I'm going to ask you now to stand. Can you stand again? And let's declare this prayer aloud. And the reason I ask you to do this aloud is because there is power in the spoken word, right? So if you know right now you are before the natural world, but if you don't know it, I have news for you. You are also before the spiritual world. And my hope is, as you leave this place, be aware that what you see is not everything. There is a spiritual world. And when you say something, you are declaring these words. It means now that not only the natural, but also the supernatural knows who you are standing for. That's why prayer is important. Because when you pray and you say that loud, you are saying, I want God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want Jesus to respond this prayer. Not the universe, not demons, not Satan, not my friend. I'm trusting him. And when you say that aloud, there is power on that. Everybody hears it. God hears it. The angels hears it. The demons hears it. Everybody hears it. So let's declare it like you mean it. So everyone, natural and in the supernatural, can hear you. 1, 2, 3.
Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back to me. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost. Hunger for God's things and holy holiness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I know I'm safe, born again, forgiven, and on my way to heaven because I have Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Close out our worship today. Sing together. Rise up.
In the dark and hard alone, or growing comfortable, will all you too scared to move or walk out of this tomb? Buried underneath the lie that you believe, safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found, and your child. And it's time to leave. Come on and rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling out from the grave like Lazarus? I bring you the power of your reign, the power that couldn't hold me. calling us to walk out of the dark. Mm-hmm.
May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Go in peace. Amen.
Rise up, rise.